Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. For the 22nd time, the New York Yankees are the world champions of baseball. They brought their comeback drive to a triumphant conclusion last night in Los Angeles, and we'll hear about it from Bernard Goldberg.
The New York Yankees did it again last night. They beat the Dodgers 7-2 and won their second straight world championship. But last night, it was, as one writer put it, a couple of nickel-and-dime hitters in a million-dollar lineup who brought the Yankees victory. Brian Doyle and Bucky Dent, the bottom of the batting order, got six hits and five runs batted in between them. Doyle was in the minor leagues just 6 months ago, and Dent was only a .243 hitter during the regular season. Last night, he was named the most valuable player in the series. In the clubhouse after the game, the Yankees were doing what World Series champs always do, trying to drown one another in champagne. And in the midst of all that, George Steinbrenner, the Yankee owner, had this to say.
I don't think there's ever been another Yankee team any greater than this team on sheer courage and the way they played down the stretch.
And for Dodger manager Tommy Lasorda, it was the old Dodger refrain, wait till next year.
We're a bridesmaid again, but not a bride, but we'll be back next year. You can rest assured of that.
It was the great Yankee philosopher and Hall of Famer Yogi Berra who once said, it ain't over till it's over. Well, sports fans, it's over. Bernard Goldberg, CBS News, Los Angeles.
It's also over in the World Chess Championship. The winner and still champion, Anatoly Karpov of Soviet Russia. He defeated Soviet defector Viktor Korchnoi today in the final game of what was really something of a grudge match. Peter Collins reports from the Philippines resort city of Baguio.
Korchnoi conceded defeat today to Karpov without resuming play some 14 hours after the final and deciding game was adjourned with the challenger holding a hopeless position against the Soviet champion. So ended more than 3 months of chess and psychological as well as political warfare between the two camps, with the final score standing 6-5 in favor of Karpov. Korchnoi was bitter in defeat. He said he did not consider Karpov the legitimate world champion and accused him of using dirty tricks to win. Korchnoi was referring to the positioning of a Soviet parapsychologist near the stage during yesterday's crucial match. He said he was also upset by the decision of a Soviet-dominated jury of the World Chess Federation to censure him for his association with two young American members of the controversial Ananda Marga cult. Karpov, meanwhile, is planning 3 days of celebrations in Manila amid indications that match organizers will try to set up a showdown with former world champion Bobby Fischer of the United States. Peter Collins, CBS News, Baguio, the Philippines.
Korchnoi's chief aide, British Grandmaster Raymond Keane, says the defeated challenger intends to file a protest with the International Chess Federation against what he calls the intolerable conditions that Korchnoi was subjected to during the match. Egyptian and Israeli negotiators in Washington today are pressing on with their peace treaty talks. Apparently, the discussions are still proceeding smoothly, but Robert Pierpont says it would be hard to prove that on the basis of what happened at the White House yesterday.
First came the surprise announcement that the two sides were coming in for separate meetings with President Carter. A White House spokesman assured reporters that the talks had not hit a snag, that this was just a chance for an overall review by Mr. Carter. But after the first of the two meetings, Israel's Foreign Minister Moshe Dayan emerged to declare that there were indeed some difficulties between the Israelis and the Egyptians, which he hoped President Carter could help resolve. Half an hour later, at the opening of his meeting with the Egyptian delegation, President Carter said no, there were no problems, just a review of the negotiations. Afterward, Egypt's Ambassador Gorbal, as the spokesman for his delegation, came down somewhere in the middle, indicating that not all the problems had been resolved, at least not yet. Not surprisingly, American officials leaned to President Carter's view that no difficulties exist between Israel and Egypt that cannot be resolved in the near future. But the confusion of the day did produce one firm development, evidence that President Carter is still involved in the negotiations. Perhaps that was the main point. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News at the White House.
Beirut is generally quiet this morning. The latest ceasefire, although repeatedly violated since it came into force a week and a half ago, still seems to be holding. And Bob McNamara reports that much of the Lebanese capital is waiting to see how the Christian militia units react to the U.S. State Department warning that whoever provokes more fighting will incur a heavy responsibility.
That warning came after six Arab foreign ministers wound up 3 days of talks late yesterday with Lebanon's President Elias Sarkis. The foreign ministers represent nations supplying money or troops to the Arab peacekeeping force here. And the ministers handed Sarkis a list of mostly Syrian recommendations for restoring political, military, and social order to Lebanon. Several Christian and phalangist leaders indirectly took part in the talks, and generally, though their verbal responses to the peace proposals have been predictably negative, they have not begun lobbing shells and rockets at the Syrian troops across the ceasefire line. President Sarkis is expected to begin implementing some of the Arab recommendations this weekend, steps that include moving Syrian troops out of touchy areas that might lead to more fighting. The 30,000-man Syrian army will not withdraw from Lebanon, and it appears determined to stay here until the Christian militias are either disarmed or cut off from the Israelis who supply the Christians with weapons, ammunition, and military training. Bob McNamara, CBS News, Beirut.
Secretary of State Vance and other high-ranking Western diplomats are still conferring with South African leaders in Pretoria on the Namibia problem. But South Africa's foreign minister says he doubts they can agree on a plan for independence of that territory, now known as Southwest Africa. There are reports that President Carter has invited South African Prime Minister Botha to Washington for a summit conference on the issue, but those reports have not been confirmed. Rhodesian government troops today began another series of raids across the border against nationalist guerrilla bases in Mozambique. Pope John Paul II today addressed the cardinals of the Roman Catholic Church and told them they displayed great courage in electing him, the first pontiff from Poland and the first non-Italian in more than 450 years. Bert Quint reports now on some of the factors that went into that choice.
It was the inability of Italian conservatives and moderates in the College of Cardinals to agree on a compromise candidate that led to the election of a non-Italian pope. That is the conclusion of Vatican observers who have pieced together fragments of information that came out of the conclave. While the conservatives didn't have enough votes to elect their own man, they were able to block the election of candidates presented by the moderates. When it became apparent that the Italians could not agree on a candidate, so the theory goes, the German cardinals made a proposal. They were worried about a possible return to Cold War days once Brezhnev of the Soviet Union is gone. They knew Karol Wojtyla personally and suggested him. The reasoning, the Polish church has remained strong despite the communist government there. Wojtyla, unlike the senior Polish cardinal, Wyszynski, is flexible, tough, but able to get along with the communists. Aside from his other attributes, he would be the right man for possible tough times ahead in the East. Other Central Europeans, cardinals from the Third World, and some American cardinals, as well as the Italian moderates, agreed on the choice, and the world got its first Polish pope. Bert Quint, CBS News, Rome.
The Vatican has denied rumors that the new pontiff, while a young man, was engaged or married, and that he turned to the priesthood after the woman was killed by German troops. Thoroughly false, says the Vatican. There's an air of uneasiness this morning in Wall Street. The Dow Jones Industrial Average, which fell about 22 points on Monday, declined 8 more yesterday. And CBS News business correspondent Ray Brady sees indications that the end is not in sight.
Many Wall Streeters feel that even though the market has dropped by 30 points in the past 2 days, it may be headed for still lower prices. They believe that the market might have an individual day or two when it rises, but that the general trend remains downward. That feeling is coming because the Federal Reserve is continuing to tighten up on the money supply as a way to try to cool off inflation. But that tightening of money means interest rates will continue rising, and there are reports a still higher bank prime rate may be coming. Those higher rates already are affecting the many investors who bought stock this year on margin using borrowed money. As they have to pay higher rates on that money, stocks look less attractive, and so they're selling them. There are also fears on Wall Street the Federal Reserve policy might tighten too much on money, which has happened in the past, and that could plunge the nation into a recession. Another reason many Wall Streeters fear stock prices will keep going down. Ray Brady, CBS News, New York.
For the fifth time in little more than a week, the price of gold this morning reached another new high, $229.25 an ounce in London.